We've been following the case of an investigative journalist named Hopewell Chinono. Recently, his reporting helped expose massive overbilling in a government contract for personal protective gear to fight COVID-19 in Zimbabwe, his home country. Nearly 3 weeks ago, police broke into Chinono's home. They arrested him and accused him of incitement to commit public violence. Yesterday, a court denied him bail again. Washington Post journalist Jason Rezaian spent almost 2 years in jail in Iran on espionage charges. He was released in 2016. He joins us now on Skype. Jason, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me on, Lisa.
You say there is a direct link between the coronavirus and the aggressive arrest and detention of journalists, including Hopewell Chinono. I want to tell you something that just before our interview, I heard from Human Rights Watch, which is watching Chinono's case very carefully. And I should say that Chinono and I were journalists the same year in a journalism fellowship at Harvard. And so I do have a personal interest in what's happening as well as a professional one. This person from Human Rights Watch said that he understands Hopewell has been stopped from wearing COVID-19 protective clothing and goggles in prison because they're deemed a security risk. This is a prison that's known to be filthy in the best of circumstances. But this seems like such an aggressive move against a journalist for whom there hasn't even been a trial date set yet. What do you think is going on there?
Well, I think that this is a trend that authoritarians and even some democracies around the world are very callously and opportunistically using this pandemic and the coverage of this pandemic as a pretense to arrest people, arrest journalists, and detain them for long periods of time, often without trial, but then put them into prisons where they face much greater risk of contracting the coronavirus. Just last month, three journalists that we know of died in prison because of coronavirus-related illnesses that they contracted while being detained. And these cases seem unrelated, but when you look at it, it's a broader trend that's happening around the world. And unfortunately, journalists who should be considered essential workers in some countries are being targeted for persecution at this time. And it's become a pretty simple way for governments to shut down dissent. And so I doubt that there's any difference in Zimbabwe than there is in Kyrgyzstan or Egypt or Honduras, or any of the other places where this is happening right now.
So that's where these other journalists died, you said, from COVID-19.
Yes. And I mean, there have been journalists who have died from COVID-19 covering the story, right? But, to take people into custody, knowing that they're at risk of contracting this disease, it's barbaric.
And in this case, if this reporter, Hopewell Chinono, is being told to remove his gear, this sounds like it is another way to try to permanently silence a journalist. Are these governments trying to kill journalists?
It's too difficult to say from afar that they're trying to kill these journalists by making them contract the disease. I can't say that with any sort of definitive conviction, but it would appear so. And that's a terrible thing. And I've been in contact with folks at the UN Human Rights Commission who say that there is a good chance that if brought to courts of international justice, the leaderships of these countries would be found guilty of extrajudicial killings in these cases. Yes.
And can anything be done to stop them before it even gets to that point?
Well, I think, traditionally, Lisa, the U.S. president and the State Department have been the most ardent supporters of free expression and protection of journalists around the world. Unfortunately, I don't need to tell you that responsibility was abdicated 3 years ago, almost four now, when President Trump took office. He has been complicit in many ways, and in the closing down of free expression around the world, and also tacitly given a green light to autocrats who want to kill journalists. The most obvious example is the response to the killing of my colleague Jamal Khashoggi. It's been a horrible thing to watch from up close here in Washington, D.C., as our commitment to the First Amendment and free expression has waned so much that I worry that it'll be hard to resuscitate.
Well, what about other governments? We know that South Africa, a neighbor to Zimbabwe, has been watching and assigning a monitor specifically to find out what's happening in the Zimbabwe prisons. What about the African Union? What about organizations even outside the continent? It sounds like the government and these prisons are almost impermeable. Is that the case?
Well, you know, speaking from my own experience in prison in Iran, yes, they are impermeable. You know, there is no oversight in a lot of these prisons. And while I do believe that other African governments can lean on the leadership of Zimbabwe in this case, I don't think that that is necessarily enough. I mean, I think there needs to be a more concerted effort around promoting the freedom and safety of journalists around the world. And what we're seeing right now during the pandemic is the exact opposite. There hasn't been any phenomenon, event, or trend that's been more destructive to press freedom more quickly than COVID-19. It even seems to be taking effect more quickly than the war on terror following 9/11, which was previously sort of the most destructive attack on press freedom globally.
Say more about that. You say there hasn't been any other event in recent history that has provided more occasion to restrict press freedom than COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a partisan issue. It's not a political issue. It's a matter of public health. Many governments who were caught unprepared for the pandemic prefer to suppress information about the spread of the disease within their own borders. So when journalists do their job, rather than allow those stories to be told, governments have instead taken the approach of locking journalists up. You know, under the auspices that these journalists have somehow disrupted the national security. Whenever you see a journalist accused of espionage, terrorism, what it really means is that they were doing their job exposing corruption by the governments that they cover.
Jason, remind us when you were in prison in Iran, what helped get you out?
Well, I think that in all of these cases, there is a choice to be made. And that choice, first and foremost, is within the family. Are we going to hope for the best and wish this thing to be resolved quietly and without intervention? Or are we going to step in and be vocal and adamant that our loved one is innocent and should be free? I'm fortunate that my family chose the latter route, and in coordination with my employers at the Washington Post, they were able to mount a very public advocacy campaign on my behalf that was so effective that the U.S. government had to take note. And this notion that such cases will be resolved quietly and that, you know, governments will magically do the right thing without any sort of public pressure is a fairy tale.
So just to finish that thought, you're not saying that it's just up to the Zimbabwe government to do the right thing here. You're saying it's up to the U.S. government as well.
I think it's up to all responsible democratic governments to step in and be the vanguard of protecting press freedom. And traditionally, that has fallen on the United States of America. And our intervention has been a reliable predictor that an oppressed journalist will see freedom if the U.S. government steps in. And when we don't, their chances are not as good.
Jason Rezaian, opinions writer for The Washington Post, talking about the detention of journalists such as Hopewell Chinunu in Zimbabwe during the COVID-19 pandemic. Jason, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.